Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back. What do you do in retirement? Who will you be? Who are you, by the way? Do you know? Do you know what you're going to do when you retire? Maybe you've already retired and you're scratching your head and going, all right, the initial long vacation's over here. What am I supposed to be doing with the rest of my life? These are all great questions. And you know what? As a financial planner, I can try to give you some ideas, but that's a lot of the stuff you want to figure out even before you retire. And so you can be planning ahead. But as you make that transition, this is all things to talk about. And very conveniently, my own parents told me their own experience with them when they retired, and they still can't sit still. They're still doing stuff. So I'm excited. We have a really great guest lined up for you here. Our Beth Muthart, our radio producer, has found Dr. Paul Chaffetz, and he is a clinical psychologist, and he's all over this retirement transition and what you do and how you are ready for retirement. So real quick introduction. Dr. Chaffetz has a bachelor's degree in psychology at Brown University, PhD in clinical and health psychology at University of Florida, clinical psychology internship at Duke Medical Center, and completed a two-year postdoctoral fellowship at Texas Research Institute of Mental Sciences in Houston. And he has had his own private practice since 1982, and he did that part-time until 2004, and then full-time 2004. Since then, and also taught psychology at Texas Women's University and also University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center, where he's been an associate professor for 20 years. So needless to say, there's a lot of background here that Dr. Chaffetz is going to bring to the program. So let's get him on, get rolling here, because I have got about 37,000 questions for him, and we'll get to as many as we can. Dr. Chaffetz, welcome to the program.
David, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Listen, thank you. I know you're busy, and so we're going to on behalf of all the listeners, I'll jump on the couch here, okay, and I'm going to, you can ask me questions.
You can
or maybe
sit up if you like.
Okay, so I'm going to ask questions that I think are relevant for a lot of people that listen to this program, and, you know, they try to understand where they're going with all this, and and we're going to refer to several times. You've got a lot of great resources over on your website, Paul K, and then Chaffetz, and it's spelled C-H-A-F-E-T-Z.
Right.
.com for our listeners. So let's just start really with kind of the obvious. I mean, you've got all this psychological, psychotherapy, all this background. What got you interested? What brought that, what brought all of that into focus where you pointed all of that experience onto this area of the transition into before, during, and into retirement? What got you focused on that?
You know, it's interesting to me on many levels. I have this very keen interest in the transition from full-time work into the work afterlife, both for kind of academic, intellectual reasons and personal reasons. I'll share with you the personal one first. When I was in my 20s, my father was in his late 50s. He co-owned a big company with his brothers. But as things happened, you know, he lost his two brothers, and he sold the company, and actually he got pretty depressed. He was not yet 60 and suddenly retired, and that started my interest in both the transition into retirement and study of late life in general. So I specialized my training in geriatric psychology.
Okay.
But also, I mean, even for intellectual reasons, every day, like 10,000 Americans turn 65, and a good number of them, you know, eventually leave work. Americans, I don't think, do a good job of really preparing for the psychological challenge of leaving full-time work. So it's always been a tremendous interest to me.
Well, and that really leads into a nice segue there. Why do you think that is, that they aren't prepared? Is it just that they are so...
I don't know. You know, people kind of, they muddle through, they do the best they can. And in fact, most people do a perfectly adequate job. There are other really big transitions in life where people could read and get some coaching and prepare, but they don't. Like getting married, like becoming a parent. Wouldn't it be great if everyone took some classes before making these huge steps? They don't. Of course, most people do okay, but they could hit a home run if they really did some planning and some learning first.
Yeah, I can't disagree at all. I mean, I think that's the planning ahead, and I've had some time. I have a lot of people that come in, they're planning ahead, they're going to retire. In fact, they ask me, when can I retire? And I love that question because that lets me really guide them. But too often, I will tell you, Dr. Chaffetz, too often I've had people come in and they've already retired and they say, okay, so here's what we got. And how much income can we have? So I'm going, okay. And I have to do my best poker face and say, it's okay. It's going to be all right. But, you know, the more we can plan ahead. And I think the answer is, you know, I'll give you some of my thoughts, you know, that people, you know, it's just not on the radar screen. There's so much tied up in work and people are so busy and it's just they won't focus on it, or maybe it's just something they don't want to do.
I think one of the key strategies of being wise is to plan ahead.
Yeah, you got it. Well, and so here's the other question I had for you, which is kind of related to the first, is you got focused in on this retirement and what's happening with this whole psychology of retirement. Mm-hmm. Do you see a lot of connection between your work in psychotherapy and all of the work that you've done? Do you see a connection between that and then this whole thing of exit planning?
You ask a very interesting question. Exit planning, I think, is a subset of retirement planning.
Okay.
Exit planning refers to business owners who are going to sell their business and move into their own, we call it work afterlife. And they are a special subset because, you know, everyone who's lucky and enjoys their work is invested in their work. They get a lot out of working. Work brings a structure. It brings some camaraderie. It brings some rewards, some satisfaction. All that is increased 10 or 100-fold if you own your own business. Business owners identify with the business. They and the business are one. So if it's hard to leave an enjoyable job of 20 or 30 years, how much more so is it hard to leave the business that you've created that is the product of your own sweat and toil?
Well, you're talking to one. I've got 18 years in with my business, and and I'm 47. So I'm looking at, you know, people ask me, how long will you work? You know, sometimes people think, Dave, you're going to work till what, you're 50 and you retire? No way. I mean, I love what I do, and I'm planning on, you know, early 70s. And,
you know, I'll tell you a secret. Yeah. I have discovered in my work with retirement preparation that the word retirement is a dirty word.
Yeah.
No one likes to think of it because work does bring so many benefits. Why walk away from it? Why? Well, and if you don't have to, I agree.
Exactly.
Don't.
I'm not going to.
Just
no.
Don't. But there might be reasons to that we
sure
can talk about.
Absolutely. And, well, at the very least, maybe I'll cut back my hours, but I can at least come in at least a couple days a week and create some problems. And
sure.
No,
sure.
Not really. If you're just joining us, Dr. Paul Chaffetz is on the line, and we're just scratching the surface here. PaulKChaffetz.com, C-H-A-F-E-T-Z is the spelling, PaulKChaffetz.com. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and talk a little bit about the history of retirement and, you know, how and why people retire and the history of that. So stay right there. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Teresa Rand with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. Our Y has 6 locations to help you reach your health and fitness goals. With a focus on healthy living, youth development, and social responsibility, there are many different options to get your family involved, such as sports, swim, exercise, and much more. For more information on how your Y can help with your health and fitness goals, check out www.vfymca.org.
Hey, we're back, and Dr. Paul Chaffetz is on the line with us, and I gave you a nice introduction of him earlier. PaulKChaffetz.com is the website, and he's a clinical psychologist, and he focused in on this retirement subject, and there's a lot of, by the way, before I mention the website, a lot of great tools there. There's assessments, there is podcasts, blog, individual programs, even, and we'll get to this, which is fascinating to me, testamentary capacity, mental fitness for signing a will, which we'll talk about. A lot of different tools there we can take advantage of. But, you know, just back to the point there, Dr. Chaffetz, about the history of retirement, this idea of retiring at 60, 65, and then being retired for 20 or 30 years, this is a relatively new concept, isn't it?
Exactly. It was invented by human beings relatively recently. You know, through all, really most of human history, it took everyone's work to get the work done needed for everyone to survive. Nobody had leisure time to speak of, unless you were royalty or hyper-wealthy. But the Industrial Revolution of the 18th century started changing that. We learned how to harness raw materials like coal. We started inventing machine tools that increased productivity of workers to the point that we did not need everybody working. The problem was that left a lot of people out of work.
Right, right.
In the farming areas of our country and in the cities as well, there was true poverty because if you weren't the strongest and fittest, there was no place for you in the factory. Government, big business, and big labor got together and invented retirement. They created this idea that by 65, you need to leave the workforce so that the jobs can be given to younger people. And they invented the idea of the golden years, and they began selling this idea to the country. They were tremendously successful to the point that now we've forgotten there was ever a time without retirement, and everyone expects to have some time of leisure at the end of their life.
Well, Dr. Chaffetz, you've just painted a very good historical perspective that I had a realization as you were describing that, and then we tucked right into the middle of that, Social Security.
Right. Yeah. Right, 1935.
There you go. So we right along the same time period that put that right into it.
No
so
accident.
Yeah,
no accident.
Well, exactly, and you made that point very well. It was that's very good. So talk about this other piece of this, which is another, I guess, this other social concept that we have, or maybe a misunderstanding, is that we hear a lot about the aging of America today and how people are getting so much older or living so much longer in the country. Is that really true? Is it really radically different? And what does that mean?
It's different in a way that most people do not understand. We have more older people today, clearly, and that's indisputable. But the layperson assumes that it's because older people and adults are living longer than they used to. And that's really not very true at all. We've always had long-lived people, but they were a much smaller percentage because there were... The life expectancy of older people has improved only very slightly. People who were 80 years old 100 years ago only had 4 years less life expectancy than a person who's 80 today. But an infant born 100 years ago had 33 years less life expectancy than an infant born today. Almost all of the improvement in life expectancy has been for infants, children, and young adults. We're not keeping older adults alive much longer than we ever did. It's just that there are more people surviving early life to become old. And added to this, what's expanded the impact of this change is that the baby boom came along.
Oh, yeah.
And after World War II, this enormous cohort of babies were thrown into the system, and they're the ones who are now reaching later life.
And that's the 8,000 to 10,000 you're talking about retiring every day.
Right.
Yeah. And I heard the other day, and you will probably know exactly this statistic, that we not long ago celebrated the first baby boomer hitting 65. Now we have the first ones hitting 70.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Yep. Here comes the wave.
Here's the wave. Yeah, catch the wave. Well, there they are, and they've changed everything they've touched in America. So how about the other part of this whole retirement phenomenon that everybody has heard the story of somebody retiring and then they get sick and they die.
Right.
You know, so there's a tongue-in-cheek kind of question there. Is retirement bad for your health?
Right, right, exactly. Everyone has seen that, so they assume it's a generalizable phenomenon, but it truly is not. We know for a fact that retirement in general is not bad for your health and in many ways is good for your health. There was a very big study published in France just about 5 years ago that followed over 20,000 employees who were initially aged 35 to 50 years old and followed their health as the years went by, and many of them retired in the middle of that. And they found that certain diseases like diabetes, cardiovascular disease, stroke, showed purely an age-related upward trend. It was completely unaffected by the retirement step, but other diseases and difficulties like mental fatigue, emotional depression, physical fatigue, those problems dramatically were reduced by retirement.
Okay.
So people actually were relieved to not be working anymore.
Well, I imagine most people feel that day, some days.
Right.
Yeah, so very interesting. Good stuff. Well, so how about looking at, well, I tell you, we'll grab a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about some of the principles from psychology that can really be applicable and helpful for people that are getting toward that retirement date. If you're just joining us, Dr. Paul Chaffetz is our guest, and the website for a lot of goodies, paulkchaffetz.com, C-H-A-F-E-T-Z.com, paulkchaffetz.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for a trustworthy local advisor for your investment and retirement planning, but you're not sure how or where to begin? Start by looking for a certified financial planner practitioner. Visit www.cfp.net to search for an advisor in your local area who's earned this highly regarded professional certification. Pick three CFP practitioners. Set an appointment and interview them. Ask questions. Listen carefully to their answers. Check references and research their firms with the Better Business Bureau. This PSA is brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
Hey, welcome back. Dr. Paul Chaffetz on the line with us. And the website, again, paulkchaffetz.com. And I teed up the question there, doctor, about some of the principles in psychology that can help that 65-year-old today be smart about their retirement. So let's just use a hypothetical situation. You've got somebody that's wisely thinking about their retirement in advance, and maybe they've got 1 year out,
right?
And they're saying, okay, this is it. I'm going to, I've been to a financial planner. I've gotten a plan put together. I can retire. This is what it's going to look like. I feel good. I know what I need to do. Okay, now the rest of the story. What should they be thinking or preparing, and how can they prepare themselves over the next year or so to make that transition?
Right, right. They need to really get down to the details and start envisioning how they actually want to spend their time when they no longer are going to work every day. Work, as I mentioned before, work does so many good things for us. It provides structure, satisfaction, a sense of achievement. And you pull those together, and really work gives meaning to your life. It's one of the key sources of meaning, along with our relationships and our relationship with perhaps with God. But this tremendous one source of meaning must be replaced with another strong source of meaning, passion, purpose, significance, inspiration, whatever you call it. And it's the task, the challenge to every retiree to find their own new solution to this dilemma. Where will the meaning come from in my life? Mm-hmm. And I believe it's a matter of finding really updating their own customized fabric of meaningful activities and meaningful relationships.
And that just doesn't just happen. This has got to be a conscious effort, because all of a sudden you're sitting in the lazy boy. Nothing wrong with that, but you're sitting in the lazy boy and you're going, okay, what in the world am I doing here?
And so on a very practical basis, I have one recommendation. When they're driving in the car, except when your program's on, turn off the radio.
Yes, of course.
Don't listen to music. Use your time driving in the car to look inside yourself, ask yourself the hard questions, do some planning that's really going to make a difference in how happy you are in your own future. Don't fritter away time listening to music when you can be actually working on the big questions.
It's a big one, and it really affects a lot of people. And I want to jump to a couple other topics with the time we have left,
okay.
Doctor. We talked earlier, and I'd like to touch on it again. We talked about the difference with the actual business owner, that entrepreneur, and how this transition for them is. I would argue, because I can only imagine what it's going to be like for me someday. But it's quite a bit harder than the person that is an employee of a company, although they have their own significant investment in that company.
Men in particular tell me they want to just die at their desk and be carried out horizontal.
Okay, well, I don't want to go that far. Well, you know what I tell people, because when people ask me about it, and the reason they ask, I'm sure for our listeners' benefit, people ask me about that because they want to know how long I'm going to be here to manage or help them with their money. They don't want me to sign up with me, and then 3 years later, I'm like, thanks, I'm retiring too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fair question, and what I always tell people is, look, I'm going to work you know, like I said earlier, into my 70s. But make no mistake, I'm going to take some time along the way to enjoy, you know, vacations and time with my family and all those things I want to do and develop those interests along the way so that when I get to the end, I'm not then saying, okay, what will I do?
So I think what you're saying is that you want your life to be diversified, just like your portfolio.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll take a low-cost, diversified approach, although the fun stuff sometimes is free, sometimes it's not,
right.
Sometimes it's not. But yeah, you've got the point, and I think that people are wise to think that way. So let me jump ahead to another hot topic, and we have this social evolution that's gone on, which is, I'm sure you're also very well tuned into, Doctor, and that is the graying of divorce. And
yes.
This is the older couples, of course, getting divorced at a higher percentage than they ever have been historically, and because, you know, the retirement affects the marriage, and of course the marriage affects retirement. So there's a big ball there. We could spend a whole show just talking about that, but let's just touch on it a little bit. What are you seeing as some of the, you know, the aspects of that we should really bring to people's attention?
Look, money is a tremendously important piece of life. Our relationships are tremendously important, especially with our children and our spouse. Look, who we spend every day with and go to bed with is a very, very big and important part of life. And I think it's a developmental challenge and a task for everyone at every age in adulthood to improve our skills for being a good partner, being authentic, being kind, being giving, which is really what loving is giving and putting yourself second to the needs and welfare of another person. So whether you're married or divorced, I think we're all on a personal journey of trying to improve our character, improve our skills and our ability to connect with one other human being in a quality, healthy, constructive way. So, you know, it's just part of the mix. It's just part of the mix.
And it requires, I know one of the things that you've written about this and spoken to is it requires not just communication, which is a big part of it, obviously, but also the other C word, compromise.
100%. 100%. You know, there's an African proverb, I understand, that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
I like that.
So we have to learn how to live with other people, compromise our wants and our needs with theirs, and show them the same respect, courtesy, and kindness every day that we want to have other people show us.
Excellent. Now, back, I want to get back to your website because I know you've got a lot of resources there, and I want to get an overview, but I'd like to also ask you about, because this is something that I think, as I'm always encouraging people in making sure they've got their estate plans in order, and one of the assessments that I know that you have, which is really interesting to me, is that you have this testamentary capacity assessment,
right.
And it's the kind of a mental fitness to sign a new will. So tell me a little bit about that, because
sure.
We definitely may need to use that for our clients.
Every state specifies the requirements of a person's mental abilities for them to be fit to sign a new will. So the fancy word for that is testamentary capacity. It's pretty much the same across 50 states. You have to know what you own. You have to know who your relatives are. You have to know what a will is and does. Those are pretty much the basics. If there's some cognitive impairment, then maybe the person is close to the line where they don't have full testamentary capacity or adequate mm-hmm. testamentary capacity. Now, if you add to the mix that there's some unpleasant family dynamics.
Yeah, that never happens.
Especially if you add to the mix that there's a lot of money involved.
Right.
Say mom wants to give 90% to Johnny and 2% to each of the four other kids, then there are going to be four unhappy kids after
right.
mom passes away, and there's
right.
going to be a challenge to this will. So if there's a challenge to the will, everybody has to, you know, you hire professionals to retrospectively guess at and try to determine the testamentary capacity of the person who signed the will on the day they signed it. What I do is I offer an assessment of the person signing the will on the day they're signing the will.
There you go.
And a much more thorough assessment with psychological tools and techniques, much more thorough and complete than what lawyers normally do, which is call some witnesses from down the hall and say, well, this person seems okay.
Right.
It was a very quick and dirty approach. So I think having a report from a psychologist to use special tools and techniques is a real trump card in the event of an eventual will contest. So if you or a loved one is about to sign a will and you know that the seeds are already present in this scenario of a future will contest, this is a very prudent step to take.
Excellent. Outstanding. I think that's wonderful because, you know, they're, you know, when you have family and money, and almost not every family, of course, but in many, many families, and this is for our listeners' benefit as well, Doctor, that a lot of family situations, there are those seeds, as you call them.
Right.
And all you have to do is pour the money on top of it, and those seeds just blossom and grow very quickly.
Right.
At the death, and so having that as a resource. And they can do that, go to your website and get more information about that?
Okay. My friendly euphemism for that situation is family disharmony.
Yes, that's a very gentle and
right.
Nice way to put it, and I'm not at all surprised you describe it that way. That's very good. And then you've also got some workshops and other individual programs for retirement kind of exit readiness available. Tell us a little bit about
Correct.
Those.
Correct. I can travel to any company anywhere and give a half-day workshop to employees who are within 2 or 3 years of retirement and walk them through my process to help them leave with their own customized plan in hand for assuring that they'll have a meaningful day even after leaving work.
Well, that's what it's all about, and I applaud what you're doing. It's excellent, and I love how you have the grow into it, what you described as this psychological preparation for retirement. And
right.
People would be very, very wise to take a look at what you're doing and go to the website. The website, again, today, ladies and gentlemen, is Paul K. Chaffetz. It's chaffetz.com. We are out of time, Doctor, so...
David, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, I thank you very much for spending some time with us. And we only scratched the surface. There are other topics, and we'll definitely want to have you come back and do it again.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, I appreciate your time.
You bet. Thank you.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.